The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host and husband, partner, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Fellow realtor.
Yes, I am.
What are you working on these days?
I got a lot going on, keeping very busy.
Yes, you have a lot of buyers out there.
Yes, I do. I got things moving.
Good. We also have very special guests with us today, Christy Leyland, Matt Lyons, both from Disaster Blaster. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very good.
Can you tell me about Disaster Blaster? What is it? What type of company you are?
We're an indoor environmental company focusing on water and fire mitigation, as well as mold and radon, asbestos, pretty much full service.
Okay. What counties do you serve?
Wyoming, Susquehanna, Lackawanna, Monroe, pretty much a 60-mile radius from Avoca, Pennsylvania, Luzerne County.
That's where you're based, right? That's where your office is?
Yes.
Okay, great. You were here last week, and we look forward to our discussion. We're going to talk about mold today, okay?
Okay.
We are here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We talk about real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or give us a call at 570-344-6724. And if there's a topic you've never heard us discuss, or you're a business owner and you think you have something to contribute, give us a call and maybe we'll put you on the air.
Like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Listen to all our archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where you can also view our listings or search the MLS listings.
That's right. 3 years worth of radio shows there. Been doing it a long time.
We've been doing it a long time. Doesn't seem possible, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, Disaster Blaster. We were talking about, last week we talked about fire and water damage in a home and what you do, what kind of service you provide. And then at the very end, Christy touched on that four-letter M word, mold. When there's water, sometimes we have to worry, be concerned about mold, right?
Yes.
Okay. After we've dried out the property after water damage, what are the signs, what are the red flags when there's mold? What do we need to look for?
A lot of the time, sometimes by windows or corners, you can see some spotting, some mold discoloration or growth. Sometimes it can be in basements along the ceiling and the rafters and the beams, specifically in attics as well.
What does mold look like? Is it a certain color? Is it white? Is it gray? Is it black?
It can, depending on what its food source is, it can be various different colors. A lot of the news media has touched on black mold as a focus, but there's really not a particular strain that is going to be black all the time. It can be green, it can be white, it could be black. So it's kind of a misconception that you see black mold and it's something that is worse than something that might be green or white.
Sometimes when I go into basements of homes, I'll see a white, fluffy, kind of foamy, you know, like the suds from a washer type of material on the walls or on the floors. Is that mold?
It can be. It depends. Sometimes it's actually the minerals coming out of the cinder block. So more often than not, we find that that's what it is, but that's not always the case.
That is effervescence, and that's an indication, obviously, that moisture is present, but there's no real mold spores in that. Like he said, that's the chemical reaction of the minerals mixing with the water and kind of fizzes to the top. But it does give the indication that there's moisture present.
So can it turn into mold eventually if it's left, if the property's closed up, if there's no ventilation and it's not treated?
That is a sign of moisture coming into the property. So whereas that can't turn into mold per se, it can certainly be an indicator of something that can happen going forward. If you have that moisture bottled up in a basement or an attic area, it will collect and allow mold to grow on the, you know, the ceiling or the rafters or what have you.
Okay, so how do we prevent mold? I mean, there's a lot of basements in our region that are damp or wet due to the fact that we have heavy rainfalls. We're a wet region. There's sometimes a high water table, whatever the case might be. Or if you had water penetration or infiltration to a property through a roof, through bad windows, pipe breaks, whatever the case might be, what do you do to prevent mold?
The easiest way to prevent the mold is to prevent the moisture source, because it's going to need a food source and it's going to need the moisture. So if you see that you have a leak in an attic or a humidity problem, the best step would be to resolve that. If you have a problem in the basement, it would be the same thing. A dehumidifier or would be best for a basement. With an attic, usually it's ventilation to try to prevent it from condensing somewhere where it can grow mold.
Property owner says they see mold. They go down to the basement or go upstairs and they look at where the places that you said on the corners and in the rafters and things like that. They see mold. They should just bleach, right?
Yes, splash bleach around, right? Is that the wrong thing to do or is that the right thing to do?
Well,
I shudder when I hear the word bleach on the topic of mold.
Isn't it the cure-all, end-all?
It's not, actually, because the mold reacts to bleach because it's so caustic. So it kind of fights back because that's what the mold spores are, emit a toxin and they fight back. And bleach, they see bleach as a threat. But the best thing to use on mold is a mild detergent. It's as simple as that. It's obviously removing the source of the moisture. It's removing the mold itself, again, depending on the surface, but it's cleaning the surface too.
So scrubbing it with a mild detergent or just spraying the mild detergent?
Never spray anything at mold because it'll just kind of repollinate, let's say it that way. But cleaning the surface, if it's drywall, for example, drywall would be removed. And again, it all depends on how much of an area is affected with the mold growth. That's very important too. So if there's a large area of drywall, for example, we recommend that be cut out. That's industry standard, is to remove drywall. But if you're dealing with structural wood or you're dealing with concrete wall, cleaning the surface with a damp rag and a mild detergent, as mild as Dawn, that's how simple, and wiping down the mold.
So that removes it, but bleach does not?
Bleach does not. There's many different things that the dwell time for the chemicals that makes bleach actually is very short. It's very short, 10-minute dwell time. So if you've got an area that is covered with mold and you clean it with bleach, and by the time that actually is trying to do anything, it just turns back into water. So we've seen different scenarios, even with flooding, where a homeowner has the basement flooded, treats it with bleach, and the mold comes back heavier because you're just re-wetting the surface, really. The bleach's dwell time is so short.
How long does it take mold to grow in a place?
It can begin to grow about 3 days after you have moisture present.
As soon as 3 days.
Yeah, so if you have a pipe burst or something of that nature, you want to get on that as quickly as possible so that you don't have any further mold damage.
Wow.
Yeah, my dad's house was damaged during Hurricane Sandy, and immediately the next day they were down there, they opened all the walls, they wanted everything dry, and they made the mistake of spraying bleach all over the place, but they didn't have any mold because they opened it up and they dried it out.
So that's the key here. If there's water penetration anywhere from any source, whatever case it might be, and drying it out is essential, getting it out.
Yes.
All right. And then if you have, as we just talked about in this region, a wet basement, continually running dehumidifiers and having ventilation in attics and lower levels is key to keeping the mold at bay.
Yeah, we see it more in attics anymore. I mean, people that have damp basins have more or less taken care of it at this point. There's a lot of dehumidifiers and things like that. But people don't really understand the need for ventilation in attics. So we do see that a lot more.
Very commonly, you'll see, even with a home inspection, Jackie, I'm sure you've seen this before, is over-insulation of an attic.
Right.
So the house can't breathe properly. So that warmer air, that warmer, damp air that's traveling up through the house, it can't escape. So we've seen a number of mold issues in attics where it's affecting the rafters, it's affecting the insulation, and it's a health concern.
It's also affecting the roof shingle and the life
of it. Absolutely, okay. Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so then you're finding that moisture is there, it's trapped because of the insulation, so insulation being a good thing is actually...
Right, there's got to be airflow in the attic.
There's a right and wrong way to install. And if, like I said, if you've got insulation that's covering the soffit vent, it's kind of pointless there. And even with newer home construction, they are built so airtight for heating and cooling efficiency. While that's great, you're seeing a lot of newer homes with mold issues.
Moisture problems because of that, right? Okay, and mold. All right, well, we're going to head towards a break. Before we go, can you please give me your contact information?
Our phone number is 963-1123, and our website is www.disasterblaster.com.
And this is Matt Lyons and Christy Leyland with Disaster Blaster. Pat, before we go to break, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a large four-bedroom, two-bath home in the Hills section of Scranton at 1516 East Gibson Street for $102,000. It has a large eat-in kitchen, a pantry, a formal dining room, a beautiful entry foyer, and hardwood floors throughout this 1,800-square-foot home. There are balconies off the first and second floors and a very nice front porch. It also has a detached garage, economical gas heat, and is fully insulated. There is also a walk-up attic that could be finished for extra living space. So if you're looking for a four-bedroom, two-bath home, give us a call about 1516 East Gibson Street in Scranton for $102,000, and that is listed by Stephanie Silvestri of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Realty Times article that caught my eye. A recent survey revealed credit scores continue to confuse consumers. Credit scores baffle 20 to 40% of consumers. Credit scores have become so influential in the lives of most consumers that tens of millions are severely disadvantaged by their lack of knowledge of their score. The survey found 2/5 of those surveys did not know that credit card issuers and mortgage lenders use credit scores in decisions about credit availability and pricing. 2/5 incorrectly believe that personal characteristics such as age and marital status are used in calculating credit scores. Between 1/4 and 1/3 do not know when lenders are required to inform borrowers of the credit score used in their lending decision. That's when, after consumers apply for a mortgage, when they are turned down for a loan, and when they don't receive the best price or other terms they're supposed to get their credit scores. Between 1/3 and 2/5 do not know that the credit scores of co-signers of a student loan are affected by that loan improving if payments are made on time, declining with one late payment. More than 1/4 do not know key ways to raise or maintain their scores. Keeping credit card balances low and not applying for several cards at the same time. And more than 1/3 incorrectly believe that credit repair agencies are always or usually helpful in correcting credit report errors and improving scores. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back. The real estate market is extremely active, and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my co-host, fellow realtor, and husband.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Yeah, we're doing a good show today. Lots of good information.
Excellent mold information from Disaster Blaster. With us today is Christy Leyland, Marketing and Service Manager, and Matt Lyons, IT Manager. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us 2 weeks in a row.
Thanks for having us.
We were talking about moisture and ventilation before the break regarding mold and how it's developing, how you're seeing it more in attics than basements these days because people are running their dehumidifiers. They know that that's essential in keeping the moisture out of their lower levels in their basements. But in the attic, they sometimes have insulation they're not aware of is too much or the attic area is not being ventilated properly, and thus moisture is developing, and then therefore mold growth happens.
Yes.
Okay. If mold develops, how do we contain it and prevent cross-contamination?
Well, first and foremost, what we generally try to do is contain the area where we know there is mold. So we'll build a containment barrier. We won't allow people in and out of that area, so we don't contaminate a nearby area, rooms below if it's an attic, things like that.
Okay. So you assess the situation, you find where the mold growth is, you contain that area, and then you deal with it and you remove the mold, and then therefore no more mold?
Yeah, we would take care of the mold situation, and along the course of the project, we generally look at where is the moisture coming from? How can this homeowner rectify this permanently? You know, we don't want to remediate an attic and then have them calling us back a month later, hey, it's back. We want it done and gone.
Mold is a very scary thing. A lot of health issues tied to, you know, mold being present in properties. And a lot of times people, mold is growing behind walls. People are unaware of it, but are developing some health-related issues because of its presence. Correct?
That's correct. So if there is hidden mold in there, but there's health issues that they're dealing with and it's kind of an underlying, you know, something they think about, the best thing to do is do an air sample to determine if there is a contamination in a suspected area.
Who does an air sample? Someone like you? Disaster Blaster?
Well, we don't actually do that because we see it as a conflict, but we like to work hand in hand with the testing company that does it. We work with local companies that do the air sample.
Okay. Where else would mold hide in a property, unbeknownst to a property owner, homeowner, resident of a structure? Where does air ducts? Central air and hot air furnaces have ducts, and does mold grow in those areas?
It certainly can. Sometimes we'll see a situation where ductwork has actually gotten wet, or they've had a mold problem that's been previously remediated, but the ductwork wasn't cleaned. When you have a situation like that, and there's mold growth in the ductwork or spores, and the HVAC system is then turned on, you can spread it back through the property.
Right.
So we always consider ductwork cleaning as a something that goes hand in hand. So we would clean the ductwork along with the rest of the property where we've seen the mold.
Yeah, one of your promotional materials says if a company doesn't do duct cleaning, they can't properly do mold cleaning or removal, correct?
Correct. We try to keep our informational things topical, and we see that a lot. Companies that come out and do a mold remediation project only to neglect ductwork, and then the customer will have a mold problem in the future, or which is usually when we get the phone call.
As a matter of fact, I'm sorry, we had a customer that called. They had some mold that they needed to attend to, but it was still significantly wet. They had somebody come in and do the remediation, but the company that they hired didn't do any drawing. So basically they did all remediation, they did encapsulation, and all the structure was still wet. All the mold came right back, and it was all sealed in, all the moisture was sealed in. So that again goes hand in hand with the reason why we do the duct cleaning, why we do the drying, because it's full service. It's all interrelated. So make sure whoever's being hired for the remediation can handle all the different aspects involved with the process.
Well, what I'm thinking is, should a property get to that point where there's mold for somebody to do duct cleaning? I mean, can it be preventative too? So how often should someone, if they have ductwork in their property, furnaces and central air systems, should they be cleaning their ductwork to prevent mold?
Well, there's a couple different variables that go with that too, because if the homeowners are smokers, or if they own pets, or the type of heating system, whether it's gas or oil, you know, the industry says 3 years, you know, it's a maintenance. It's up to every individual that wants to deal with it. So whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, it's also the level of dust that you want to be removed from the ducts themselves. But when it comes to mold, there's no avoiding getting the ducts done either, because it's just recontaminating the air.
Yeah, there's certain situations that pretty much mandate duct cleaning. Mold, contamination, smoke or fire, you know, things like that.
So you have to go in and do the ductwork cleaning at that point?
At that point, yes.
Okay. But every 3 years, people with ductwork should think about cleaning it just so that they could stay on top of their dust and mold issues?
I bought my house in 2005, and I got my ducts cleaned about 2 years ago. So I'm good for a little while. Like I said, every 5 years, 6 years, something like that.
Okay.
So.
All right.
It's a maintenance thing in those cases.
I would understand that, you know, somebody might not always remember to do. I mean, you're not looking at your ductwork every day. It's down in the basement. It's in the attic, and you're not thinking about it.
Right. And, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, as long as the furnace is maintained, because that's who should be looking at the furnace, an HVAC company to maintain that. And then if that's maintained on a regular basis annually, then the duct should have no problem. But just, I started noticing dust on the outside of the vents. That's why I wanted to get them done.
Okay, so that was the sign that told you.
To me, it was.
Yeah, it told you. Well, you're in this business, so you know what to look for. But your average person out there might not really realize what's happening.
Even when you're in a restaurant, or you see like on the vents that are in ceilings, you see the little black areas or the dusty. It tells me that there's a lot of dust just trapped up in there.
Hmm.
I notice that in restaurants all the time when I go out. I'm sitting there and I stare up at the vents and I go, yuck.
Wow.
It's easy to clean. It's not, you know, it's a basic system, and it's connected to the main trunk of the furnace, and it creates a negative pressure through the furnace to our vacuum. And it doesn't take that long, for half a day, basically, for most size homes.
Okay. So should mold... And we do real estate, we sell homes, we list homes to sell them, we have buyers that buy homes. Should mold break a deal?
Absolutely not. It doesn't have to. There are some things that a homeowner, a buyer or seller can look for. Don't hide the inevitable. Use dehumidifiers, replace acoustical ceiling tiles. Fix bathroom vents, making sure that they're venting outside as opposed to up in the attic, because that's quite common too.
We see that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So replacing that insulation, because that insulation, it's typically that's affected by mold as well. So that would need to be treated, remediated.
What else?
Sealing around doors and windows, repair foundation and drainage issues. Clean and seal any structural wood with real estate sales. There's a lot of estimates that we do, because there's mold in the rafters, in the floor joists. And that's not, if it's an unfinished basement, there's not a lot involved to getting that taken care of, because it's a simple cleanup, repair the source of the moisture, and then do the proper cleanup.
Is it costly to remove mold?
It all depends on the surfaces involved. Most people think that, you know, the entire house has to be demoed. There's a big difference between a finished basement and an unfinished basement on the cost.
Sure.
Obviously. Because when there's drywall involved, it's going to be a little more costly to remove all that drywall and then also replace it, not just remove the mold.
Okay. Do you recommend people do air samples of their home, especially if they do have ductwork or moisture issues? Do you suggest that they do air sampling, and how often?
Well, air sampling, there's certain reasons why air sampling might need to be done. And this is when I recommend, if a homeowner comes in and says that their basement's affected, they basically know the source and it's pretty severe, I wouldn't air sample the basement because I could see the mold. Why would I test something that I could physically see? I would test an adjacent area right into the opening of the first floor stairwell, for example. You want to see if the first floor has been contaminated. Sometimes a doctor might recommend that in order for a person to return to a home, if they're undergoing some health concerns, there might be air sampling done before and after to get the starting point of the conditions of the mold, and then once it's been remediated.
Okay. Very good discussion 2 weeks in a row with Disaster Blaster, Christy Leyland, and Matt Lyons. We appreciate your time and all the information you supplied to our listeners these two past weeks. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
How do we get in touch with you?
You can call us. Our number is 963-1123, and our website is www.disasterblaster.com.
That's 570, right? Because, like, in a few days, you're going to have to use the area code with everything. That's right.
That's right.
And you're on Facebook at Disaster Blaster, correct?
Yep, and we're even on Twitter.
Follow you on Twitter, huh?
You have to get a tweet from them.
Okay, Pat, would you like to review a listing?
We have a four-bedroom, two-bath home located at 634 North Hyde Park Avenue in Scranton for $127,000. This home has a split staircase, stained glass window, and a nice wide front porch. It also has a low-maintenance stucco exterior, newer Anderson windows, and the dining room and the kitchen have both been opened up into one room. There is a rear-covered porch and a family room on the first floor. Both bathrooms have been renovated and are tiled. Hardwood floors throughout the house and a walk-up attic with a huge storage area. There is also a paved driveway for off-street parking. So if you need four bedrooms and two baths in a solid home, give us a call about 634 North Hyde Park Avenue in Scranton for $127,000, and that is listed by Stephanie Silvestri of our office.
A recent article from Realty Times, the profile of the emerging buyer. Listen to this. Generation Y, also called millennials. Now, they were born late 1970s, and they were born late 1970s to early 80s, and or there's another school of thought out there to early 2000s. But they want smart homes instead of luxury homes. They want smaller, functional homes instead of sprawling McMansions. The home is to reflect the image of their own lifestyle. With tech-driven lifestyles, technology capabilities are more important than curb appeal. They want fewer frills. When they end their 10-hour work days making widgets, Generation Yers want their home to entertain them. 59% prefer extra space in the kitchen for a TV rather than, say, a second oven. Sounds like me, but
yeah,
I'm,
you need the second oven. I know.
I am not
you
a Generation Y.
You don't have enough storage space.
41% of Generation Yers would be more likely to brag to a friend about a home automation system rather than a newly renovated kitchen. They want function over form. Millennials want each room to serve a purpose that fits their lifestyle. They would prefer home office more than a dining room. 43% would like to transform their living room into a home theater. Sounds great.
Sounds good to me.
Latest technology, wiring, and capabilities. 64% of Generation Yers said they would pass it by if a home doesn't have those items. Also, 84% of those surveyed believe that technology is essential. The most sought after technology was energy efficient washers and dryers, security systems, and smart thermostats. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.